Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Village on this beautiful morning. And I'm Roy Ann Carney, and I'm the Deacon of the Month for September. And we're glad to have you all here today. So let's stand up, greet others, pass the peace, and then we'll get going.
Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly God, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt,
this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So we have a busy week coming up. First of all, please join us at 9:45 every Sunday morning if you can for Sunday school for adults and for children. And ladies' Bible study will be on Tuesday at 10 a.m. The Village Voice is out this week, and if you get it by mail, then it's on the back table. And if you get it online, then it's always there. the Pastor Search Committee preference form is also on the back table. It's also online. So please participate and watch for the small group sessions that the search committee will be having for discussing the pastor search. Next Sunday is a collection of food pantry donations. The greatest current needs are soup and canned fruit. And the deacon election ballots are also on the last table, and this is the day for voting, the day they will be counted. So fill it out and deposit it in the little blue container if you haven't done so yet, if you are a member. Now, next Sunday will be World Communion Sunday, October 1st. Which emphasizes that we are all one in Christ with the gospel and the Spirit, even though we have different languages. So if you speak a foreign language and would be willing to read the scripture next Sunday, in your bulletin is the email for Carlin Thompson and for Joan Paris. Either one of them, you can let them know today or as soon as possible. We have Spanish and French speakers, but if you speak another language and you'd be willing to read the scripture in that language, please let them know. And then on the 15th, there'll be a potluck luncheon and after worship, and then there's trunk or treat on October 20th. At 7 p.m., although it seems a little soon to be having Halloween already, but that's the way it goes. So, welcome.
Join me as we sing,
come and sing praises.
Good morning. Good to see a good number of you out this morning. I don't know why there wouldn't be a lot more. A little water shouldn't bother a Baptist, I wouldn't think, but evidently. Anyway, we're glad that you are here this morning, and I add my welcome to Roy Ann's. We're glad to see you. We come now to a sharing of our blessings and prayer concerns. For those of you who are worshiping with us virtually, you probably know that the sound is going to be muted at this point. But for those of you who are here, please feel free to share what's on your heart today, a blessing, a concern, whatever you're feeling today. Before we do that, I just wanted to read a few words I saw. Just a clipping I found in a file, but I thought it was beautiful. I wanted to share it with you before we had a prayer. A kind word opens a closed flower. A soul-deep prayer lifts the clouds. A generous gift loosens hardened hearts. A quiet deed catches another's attention. A heartfelt forgiveness releases new possibilities. Each act of love, each measure of care, weaves another strand in God's kingdom and causes the heart to sing. It's beautiful, beautiful. Loving God, you have called us to this time and place where we can be with you and with one another, and we have shared our concerns, and we bring to you, God, the names and situations of great joy and celebration and blessing that have been mentioned here today. Through them all, you have been with us. So hear our thanks and praise for all these blessings that we have named with our voices and in our hearts. But we know that life is a mixed bag, and many of this people that we know and love this week have known challenges, experienced worry perhaps, or stress. Others have found themselves in trying circumstances. Through it all, you've been with us to bring healing and peace for our lives. And we offer to you the names of those mentioned here today, the ill, those who have perhaps lost their way, those who wonder if anybody cares. Lord, bring your healing mercies to all those we have named with our voices and in our hearts. We pray today for our children and our youth, our college students, as a new year unfolds, that you would protect them, give strength and wisdom to those who teach them and care for them. We pray for our elected officials that you would enable them to fulfill their responsibility with integrity and a desire for justice. We pray today for Carmela Jones, who has made her way once again to Hungary. We pray that you would minister to her as she ministers to others. We pray for our search team that you would give them the gift of discernment, that you would lead them to the one whose unique gifts and abilities meld with this congregation's unique needs. And on this day, Lord, when we think about forgiveness, help us to remember all the ways that you have forgiven us. We have all messed up. We have all said and done things we ought not to have said and done. But again and again and again, you have taken us back. You've started over with us. So in remembering your mercies, may that same mercy be engendered in us. Few things, Lord, that you ask of us are more difficult than to forgive. And yet few gifts that you've given us are more generous than your willingness to forgive. Because you've been merciful to us, help us to be merciful to each other and to others. Receive our prayers, O God, and help us to trust in your goodness. We confess our faith. We put our trust in you. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. It's time for the children's story. Good morning, and happy birthday to our two birthday young people. How old are you today?
Seven.
And you are?
Seven.
Well, that's remarkable. And happy birthday to you. Well, I am really excited today because half an hour ago, something from outer space landed in the western part of the United States, in Utah. Now, it was not a rocket ship with little green men in it. It was a project of NASA called OSIRIS-REx. And OSIRIS-REx, part of which was built right here in Prince George's County over at Goddard, traveled to an asteroid named Bennu and picked up some material from that asteroid and brought it back. And it landed just half an hour ago after traveling over a billion miles. And you know how long it took? You should appreciate this. 7 years. It was launched in 2016 and it came back. And I can show you now on live television. You see that person? You see what they're looking at? That little capsule right there? That's the payload that came back from the asteroid Bennu. And that's a person walking, looking at it. See the person standing up now? But this is the thing right there that came back from the asteroid. And it carries material that's going to help us learn how the solar system formed. That's why we're really excited about that. Everybody who's associated with NASA is excited about that. And this is happening right now out in Utah. Now, what does this have to do with church? After all, we're in church this morning. Well, it has to do with church because every time you see a discovery, whether it's a scientific discovery, or a medical discovery, or a geographic discovery, or a historical discovery, it's a reminder that God gave each and every one of us intelligence that allows us to make those discoveries and gives us the curiosity that makes us want to make these discoveries. It also gives us a couple of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience, because it took 7 years, and it took a long time before that to build OSIRIS-REx, and then they launched it, and they had to wait 7 years before it came back. So everybody needed patience. And during that time, you had to have self-control, too, because, you know, what can you do about it when it's out there in space? Not much. So every time you see a discovery, it should remind you that there are gifts from God that all of us share. And we can be thankful for that. So let's say a quick prayer. Lord, we thank you for giving us these gifts, the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of intelligence and curiosity and allowing us to make discoveries like this that help us learn about how you made the universe. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name.
So the kids have been working on, during Children's Church, the fruits of the Spirit. But before we start, I do just want to call out, you can't see them, but this is Avery and Owen, and they have literally been hanging out together since they were born, one day apart, and their birthday is Tuesday and Wednesday, but Kelly and I gave birth like two rooms next to each other, so. Before we start, let's review, because we're going to need some of y'all's help with this. The video is going to play. Feel free to dance, to sing, and maybe you can keep up. Come dance. You come dance. I know you want to. Get up here, girl. All right. Remind them what the fruits of the Spirit are.
That's easy. All right. fruit of the spirit's not a coconut. Fruit of the spirit's not a coconut. If you wanna be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. The spirit's not a banana. The fruit of the spirit's not a banana. You wanna be a banana? You might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit's not a watermelon. The fruit of the spirit's not a watermelon. You wanna be a watermelon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit's not a lemon. The fruit of the spirit's not a lemon. You wanna be a lemon? You might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit's not a chili. The fruit of the spirit's not a chili. If you wanna be a chili, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay! Everybody knows that grapes come in bunches, so everybody get in big bunches! The fruit of the spirit's not a grape. The fruit of the spirit's not a grape. You wanna be a grape? You might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Scripture today is about forgiveness. And reading from chapter 18 of Matthew, verses 21 to 35. So Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and his children and all his possessions, so payment could be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe? Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused, and then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to each of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Thanks be to God.
Happy to be back with you this morning. I haven't been here since the middle of August, I think. That wasn't the original plan. But you know what they say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. But we're here today, and glad to be back. And I thank you for your prayers and your support during my time of illness. Let's pray together. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I suppose a message on forgiveness can be a little disconcerting. And I want to say right from the beginning that most of what I'm sharing today does not have anything to do with really abusive situations or really grievous wounds that cause physical and mental and emotional harm. I'm talking mostly about relationships today, even church relationships, and forgiving one another. This 18th chapter of Matthew causes us to really think about one of the most difficult things to do in our day-to-day walk with Jesus. Forgiveness is difficult. However, I would suggest to you that it is the way to life abundant. Vengeance is the way of the world, getting even, tit for tat, but it leads nowhere positive. Now, Peter comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, how many times should I forgive?" Now, we've all heard this story, and what we probably remember most about it is the math, the number of times we're called to forgive. 70 times 7. I remember a story of a little boy who came home from confirmation class, and he went to his room and he hung this huge piece of paper on his wall, and his mother says, "Well, what are you doing that for?" And he said, "Well, my teacher said I had to forgive my brother 490 times, and this is my tally sheet. And when I get to 490, I'm going to let my little brother have it." Well, you know, 7 is an important number in the scriptures. There's a lot of important numbers in the scriptures. The number 40, 40 days and 40 nights, you remember. Jesus was in the wilderness. 12 is another important number, 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel. And so in scripture, when we see these specific numbers, it's important because they are always trying to focus our attention on something larger than the number itself. And such is the case with this reading today. With these numbers, we are being directed to something greater, something holy, something that is of God, so we would be well served to pay attention. By the way, first century Judaism taught that one might forgive a neighbor once or twice, perhaps three times, but four times was beyond the limit. So Jesus is countering that notion by removing all limits to forgiveness. In some translations, you'll see actually Jesus tells us to forgive 77 times. In other translations, it's 490 times. The numbers don't matter. It's not 490, it's not 77. It's always times always. It's never ending times never ending. The math here is meant to draw our attention to a bigger picture. The larger reality that every time we engage in an act of forgiveness, it is holy, and we are living out one of the primary calls that come with following Jesus. A call we're supposed to take seriously and to practice. Well, Peter being Peter doesn't get it. So Jesus tells a story. A king wanted to settle accounts with his servants, close the books. Servant owed the king 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. The equivalent of 15 years of labor, something like $150 million. He maxed out the Visa card and then some. Now, clearly, he could never pay that. Who could? He deserved the worst from the king. I mean, how could anybody blow through that much money? The king should have put him in the slammer. But instead, in a moment of excessive grace, he writes off the entire debt. What kind of soft-hearted king is this? What kind of soft-headed king is this? After all, you get a reputation for forgiving a debt that large, and everybody's going to come running, thinking it's okay to waste money, it's okay to ignore debts. But he forgives the entire debt. And we can imagine that must have sent some shockwaves into the king's treasury department. Can't you imagine? And sure enough, on his way out of jail, the forgiven servant runs into a fellow servant who owes him $1,000. And grabbing him by the throat, almost choking the life out of him, he says, "Pay me what you owe me." I think what we're meant to see here is ourselves as we really are. We who have received mercy, we who have received forgiveness, very often withhold that mercy and forgiveness from others. It's our human tendency to try to get even, to try to seek revenge, to insist that the scales of justice be balanced. But evidently, the only thing this forgiving king can't forgive is the inability of others to forgive as they have been forgiven. So upon hearing what the forgiven servant has done, he calls him to account and he ushers him off for punishment. What a tragedy. This one who had been set free for life chose the way that led to captivity, to bondage, because he didn't want to forgive. And here's the thing, sadly, neither do a lot of us. Oh, we talk a good game, but we're not really very good at forgiveness. It's in short supply today. A long time ago, when I was 16 years old, I used to drive my father, who was a pastor, around to hospitals and nursing facilities so that he could visit folks. And it was a win-win. He didn't have to waste his precious time looking for parking spaces, and I got to practice my driving. It was great. Well, one day on our way home, I managed to cut off another driver. And he and the others in the other car were heaping mad. I knew that because when I looked in my rearview mirror, I could see one of them extending to me what I call an emotionally cathartic gesture. And then they pulled up to the light next to us, faces red with anger, the language coming through the open window was blue, and my dad looked over at them and said, "To err is human, to forgive is divine. You'll buy that, right?" And then he raised the window. You should have seen their faces. Forgiveness was not an item on their agenda that day, believe me. Mark Matuszak writes that we live in unforgiving times. He writes, "Public self-righteousness is on the rise, and the taste for revenge has never been greater." It's true. Many of the people live today for those moments when what comes around comes back around, and people get what they deserve. They get their comeuppance, and accounts are settled. Hey, we are constantly at loggerheads, especially on social media. Criticisms can be vicious. They can be blistering. There's no forgiveness to be found. People get offended. They even try to get even with their words in order to exact some kind of balancing of the scales. I have heard, and I imagine you have too, of families who still won't communicate with one another because of hard feelings over past elections. People who choose not to get vaccinated have been treated by some as those who don't deserve to live. Today, a single comment might be considered an unforgivable sin. You are the weakest link. Be gone. You know, this evening at sundown, Yom Kippur begins, the holiest day for the Jewish people, the Day of Atonement. And part of that tradition is to approach those in their lives and repent for any hurt they might have caused in the past year and seek forgiveness. And prayerfully, forgiveness is granted. There's not a lot of forgiveness going on other than that. I can imagine that some of you come here this morning remembering a time when you were hurt, when you were wronged, wounded, and you can't possibly imagine how you would forgive that person. And maybe you carry the pain of that event with you, and it's just like a dull ache that never goes away. Or maybe there's someone here who's dealing with someone in your life, a friend or a parent or a neighbor, a coworker, a teacher, a spouse, who has seriously hurt you. And you too are wondering, how in the world can I ever find the way to forgive? And why should I forgive? To what end? So that I can open myself up to be hurt again? There may be people in this church, I don't know, who are carrying some anger or some pain about something that was said to them or done to them, or maybe about some decision that was made that affected them personally. How do you go forward when there's so much water under the bridge? But as difficult as it may seem, to forgive is something we are called to do. It's a hard road. It takes courage and humility. And it may even take months or years or lots of prayers or lots of tears to finally be able to say to the one who's hurt us, "I do forgive you." It's just not natural for us. But it is an attribute of people who know that they have been forgiven. And knowing that we have been forgiven enables us to be forgivers. But it takes practice. David C. Hockett shares these words. He writes, "Forgiveness does take practice. It's a discipline made possible by the grace of God. It's something we practice over and over until it becomes a part of who we are. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. It involves telling each other painful truths to find a way forward. It's not about making ourselves doormats or playing the victim. Forgiveness is about being free from the horrible things that others might have done to us. It's a grateful response to what God has done for us. We forgive others as a way of saying thank you to God, who in Christ has forgiven us. You know, what I see Jesus doing here is offering us a way through the hurt and the pain and the bitterness we so often feel. When we struggle with those things, forgiveness is like a gift that he gives us so that we can move on and move forward. I think sometimes we don't even begin to forgive until we recognize the humanity of the person who has hurt us. Until we give up the notion of trying to get even. And we have a choice. You can release those feelings or you can retain them. And when we retain them, it makes us sick. Now, you know, there are some people who look at this passage and they think it means that God will forgive us only on the condition that we forgive. Not so. Jesus is teaching that we are already forgiven, therefore, we can respond to each other in a different way than the world would have us respond. The other night in New England, a football fan died because of an altercation with a Miami Dolphins fan. The Dolphins fan clocked him. He fell and hit his head, and he died. You know, I hear stories like that, and I wonder, can forgiveness happen? But then I hear other stories. The story of the prisoner, falsely convicted, serving many years' time. And yet, when the truth was told, he was able to forgive those who jailed him. And do you remember the story of the Amish group where someone came in and shot up their schoolhouse? And yet somehow they were able to forgive. And not only were they able to forgive, they were able to go on and try to support the wife of the one who had done all this damage. We love. Because Christ first loved us. We forgive because God has forgiven us 70 times 7 times 70 times 7 times 70 times 7 eternally. If only we can learn to forgive. Folk wisdom has it, those who will not forgive burn the bridge over which they themselves must pass. And I remember Martin Luther King, no stranger to violence and hurt, said forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. I pray that each of us will live out what it means to forgive from the heart as a call of this Christian life every single day. And where do we begin? With all of the hurt and pain and shame and bitterness and anger and all the rest that's out there, where do we begin? Maybe we should begin where Christ did, as he taught his disciples, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a good place to begin. Let's begin today. Would you bow with me and we'll share that Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn, Forgive Us Our Sins as We Forgive. Carlin, would you lead us?
We're going to sing a little bit different tune than is in the hymnal. It's up there for you to sing along.
Please be seated. I pray now that we will all go out to forgive and to love and to restore, to make peace. If there's anyone here today who would like to become a part of this village, who would like to join us in ministry and in service in this Bowie community, I hope you'll share that with me at the close of the hour. Now receive the benediction. May the grace and peace of Jesus Christ our Lord go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you in the storm. And one day may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen. Amen.
Every word of worship.